No one has been as generous with both his time and his considerable expertise throughout this prolonged election season as has been George Washington Assistant Professor of Political Management Greg LaBelle. And I am very happy to have Greg with us once again, bringing both his academic credentials and the real-world experience of having worked on several presidential campaigns. Greg, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Hi, Walton. It's great to talk to you.
From helping us sort through the vagaries of the primary season to understanding the caucus system to traveling to Charlotte with us for the Democratic National Convention to unpacking the presidential debates, Greg, you've been with us every step of the way, and we have really benefited from your contributions.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, and I have to admit that I've learned a little bit along the way as well. So,
well, I know now you've had plenty of time to think about Tuesday's vote. So from your perspective, what happened?
I think a couple of things happened. First of all, we have to talk about mechanics. And I think what we saw was that the Obama ground game was, as a lot of us suspected, far superior to the ground game of the Romney campaign, the folks who were out there knocking on doors and making the phone calls.
Did you know that then, or you know that now?
I had a sense of it then. It seemed that the Romney folks were raying a little bit too much about what they could do. And I think just the basic mechanics of it, knowing that the Romney folks were struggling with a fairly long and drawn-out process of winning the nomination on the Republican side, which is not traditionally a kind of get-out-the-vote effort that it is on the Democratic side.
Mm-hmm.
While the Obama team had all of that time to get out there and identify and rebuild those, and I don't even want to say rebuild those networks, because what the Obama folks did was never let those networks go from 2008 until 2012. They continued to work them and nurture them, and so the odds were always that the Obama get out the vote operation and general ground game were going to be stronger.
So boots on the ground. I've been
Absolutely.
Wanting to say that phrase.
Absolutely. And we saw it. I think that just the targeting was better. I think part of that was helped by the message. Somewhat of a surprise to me was the eventual centrality of some issues around women, particularly abortion, thanks to Murdoch and Aiken, who insisted on sort of making this a central issue in the campaign. And mm-hmm. I think that part of the message hurt the Romney campaign and probably helped with women voters on the Obama side.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a significant piece. But I think probably what's more important is that what this election shows us is that there is, in fact, a progressive coalition in this country. In many ways, I think the re-election of Barack Obama validates his election in 2008. No one can look at this now and say, well, that was just a little fluke and let's move on. The president's been reelected with a substantial lead in the Electoral College. Happily for him, he won the popular vote as well. I think that that was important in terms of the perceived legitimacy of the second term among some mm-hmm. in the country. That all has been validated by this reelection, and I think that's important as well.
Okay, now I want to go back to that phrase, progressive coalition.
Yep.
I have not perceived the progressives to be that organized. So what do you mean, progressive?
Well, I think the organization was sort of forced on progressives, and this is not unusual because groups do tend to sort of come together around particularly presidential elections, and they do tend to dissipate to some extent after that when the pressure's off or the focus is off. But we did see Hispanics and women and African Americans and unions, which is interesting too, particularly in Ohio and Pennsylvania and other places. We saw unions take on a stronger role than they have been perceived as having mm-hmm. Up until this election. This word obviously has been overused in the last couple of weeks, but there was a bit of a perfect storm in the sense that that progressives did sort of all kind of come home mm-hmm. and end up working for and voting for President Obama on Tuesday.
What about the number of swing states that ended up in the Obama column?
That is exactly what brings me to some of these conclusions. I think that when you look at the race, there were two states that Obama won in 2008, and those being North Carolina and Indiana, are the only two states that he won in 2008 that he didn't win in 2012. I think that speaks to the breadth of this movement, this coalition that that came together, and I think it's quite remarkable.
A lot of us were very concerned about the unprecedented amounts of money flowing into campaigns this year, both for the White House
right.
and for legislative offices. But now, Greg, it looks like some of those fears may have been unfounded. What did we learn about the limits of the power of campaign cash, or did we learn anything?
Well, you know, something that I said to people a number of times over the course of the campaign is that we know from past years of studies that there is a ceiling on what money can do. We've known that in congressional races and Senate races for a number of years. It's never really been tested in presidential races, and I suspect that maybe this year this was a first test of that, and we learned that there's a point at which more and more money doesn't make any difference. I have to admit that I posted on my Facebook page today the question whether or not the Koch brothers want some of their money back after you look at the results not only in the presidential level but in the Senate and in the House as well. That was a pretty lousy investment for the Koch brothers.
Yeah. Greg, as someone who spent years working on presidential campaigns, do you see this as the Obama team doing more right or the Romney team doing more wrong? Or was it, as some commentators have suggested, Superstorm Sandy?
I think it's a little bit of both, and maybe both amplified by the storm. I don't subscribe to the theory that the storm is what made the difference. I think the storm may have sped up or amplified some things that were already happening. The thing we hear most often is that the storm stalled Romney's upward trend. The numbers show that the Romney upward trend had stalled before the storm hit. I think the remarkable piece of the storm, I think, was probably Governor Christie's near embrace mm-hmm. of President Obama for the immediacy of the federal government's help in New Jersey right after the storm. Mm-hmm. So I don't happen to subscribe to that. As I said, I think that the Obama campaign ran a close to flawless campaign. I mean, we're going to look back, and I think the biggest flaw we're going to remember in the campaign was the president's performance in the first
mm-hmm.
debate.
Yeah.
And I think the Romney campaign was probably less organized than they wanted us to realize that they were than they appeared to be. We may find that the Romney campaign looked a little bit more like Hillary Clinton's nomination campaign back in 2008 with some internal infighting and some very strange decisions along the way.
I see. Well, you've already mentioned Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch. It appears that candidates who tried their hardest to leverage moral issues didn't actually come out so well. Was this, and I don't want to overstate it, but was this election a victory over extremism, or can we put that much into it?
Well, I'd certainly like to think so, but I'm afraid that might be a little bit of an overstatement. It remains to be seen, but I expect that there will be a huge debate. Well, I don't expect, it's already begun within the Republican Party, and there are some folks of the Akin and Murdoch cut who will be making the argument that the Republicans didn't fail to win back the presidency in a year that they were quite sure that they would be able to do it, precisely because they abandoned those issues and Romney ended up spending time talking about just the economy and not and ending up his campaign really with an almost conciliatory sort of message, a moderate message. So, but there are others who will argue as strongly on the other side that it is in fact necessary for the Republican Party to move a little bit back to the center and to try to move away from some of that extremism. But that debate has yet has just begun and will take months and years before it's resolved within the party.
Greg, what about the unprecedented number of women that will be representing their constituents in the Senate?
Oh, it's remarkable, and you know, I as you know, I come from I grew up in the state of New Hampshire, and New Hampshire has achieved an historic accomplishment in that on Tuesday night they elected their second woman as governor. There were already two women senators in New Hampshire, and the two Democratic women beat two Republican men for the House seat. So New Hampshire is now represented entirely by women. Which is a first in the history of the country. So I'm quite proud of them for that accomplishment. Clearly, women have come into their own. This was not presented as such, but this was definitely the year of the woman. Certainly, as we look at the as we look at the Senate races, it was remarkable.
Were you surprised by Elizabeth Warren reclaiming Scott Brown's seat for the Democrats in Massachusetts?
I would have been not as it came down to the last week. I think as we saw again, I spend a lot of time looking at trends in polls the last couple of weeks before elections, and the trend suggested to me that she was probably going to beat him. The one that was more surprising was Tammy Baldwin's victory in her race. That seemed much tighter and had seemed to have a lot more sort of fluctuation in it. So that victory was a little bit more of a surprise, and I think for many people a very happy one.
Look, are we in for just more of the same, more gridlock, little movement toward bipartisanship?
It's been interesting listening to how the media has covered Speaker Boehner's comments after the election on Wednesday morning. There was some sense there that he wants to work with the president. I think the president, in his comments on Tuesday night, made reference to that as well. Harry Reid as well over on the Senate side did the same thing. I think the challenge here really is, the big challenge is for Speaker Boehner. Boehner has to decide, I think, whether he wants to embrace the role of leadership that now sits before him, or continue to do what he did over the last few years, which especially the last 2 years, which was to bow to the demands of a small caucus within the House of Representatives. There were these Tea Party folks. He needs to exercise some leadership there if he really wants his legacy to be one of bringing this country further along and helping to resolve some of these problems. I think that's going to be where this is really played out.
Now, you don't know this because you can't see me, but I have put on the hat of a Christian fundamentalist.
Okay.
And I want to make a statement about the campaign, and then I want you to respond to me.
Got it.
This election really does show the moral decline of America. Just look at the headlines. Same-sex marriage is being affirmed. Marijuana is being legalized. The secularists are just taking over. What do you say?
I think it shows something very different. I think it shows that there is a progressive movement in this country. To label that as moral decline is offensive to me, I think that what it shows is that people in this country, voters in this country, are not sold on the idea that this country is or should be a theocracy, and decisions are being made by the government and by voters that reflect a moral belief that that's based on the fact that this is a pluralist society. I think it really says the opposite.
Thank you, Greg. One last question, quickly. Do you know how long it is to the Iowa caucuses?
No, but I better look it up and hold that date, so because we'll be talking, I hope.
Greg Lavelle is assistant professor of political management at George Washington University. He's worked on several presidential elections. It's invaluable for us to have that kind of expertise as we analyze the outcome of Tuesday's election. I guarantee you it will not be 4 years before you're on this program again. Greg, thanks as always for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks, Walter. It's been a memorable journey with you once again. I've enjoyed it.